Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to Net at Night and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 173, recorded October 19th, 2010. Posterous. Net at Night is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off the lifetime of your new account, go to squarespace.com/night and use the offer code N-I-G-H-T. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Williams Coffee Pub in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
Amber, you know, I know you like coffee, but really, are you going to just move in at the coffee pub? Is that the idea?
I'm moving in, Leo.
Yeah. If it were a coffee and chocolate pub, we'd never see you again.
I never heard of these coffee pubs before, but Williams Coffee Pub, I guess, is pretty popular, and they have pretty decent internet here as well, and a lot of people come and work here, and I happened to be out near one and needed a place to do the show, so here I am.
Well, you know, what was it? Delicious Library, I think, was written in a coffee shop because they didn't have offices. So Will Shipley and company wrote the software in an internet cafe. All you need is connectivity. You could do anything, right?
That's all you need. I mean, it's amazing. Even when I'm looking around at people here, there are quite a few people who are obviously working, who have probably spent the better part of their days or to spend the better part of their days here.
So we're going to talk today. I'm really excited about this, to the founders of a site that I use a lot. And I recommend all the time, Posterous.
I know. Super excited to have them on. Now, I am not a big Posterous user, but I've seen many other people who do use it, and many people we know are big fans of the service. And I read a bunch of reviews and checked out their site earlier on today. And
you'd never used it?
No.
Really?
I know. It's so funny. I feel like, and that's why I'm kind of excited just to hear what they have to say. I get sucked into services fairly easily. Instagram, Leo, you got me completely hooked.
Yeah. You're an Instagram junkie now. But you're not alone. I think they had 100,000 signups in the first week.
It is amazing. Yeah. I know. Growth has been phenomenal. So I'm sure after the show, I'm going to get on Posterous. And then that's one more thing I need to do.
Well, Posterous is a blogging platform with one little idea that makes it work. You know, it's kind of a competitor to Tumblr in the sense that it's an easy, quick post thing. But Posterous was designed originally around the idea that you email it your content. It's all email based.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, it's such a super idea to be able to push all your content through email, especially for me. I mean, I'm constantly on email, so if I could just push it to, update my blog and push content out like that, it's a lot more simple.
And it works with any mobile platform because every phone has email capability, so you can snap a picture, email it. And then what Posterous does, it does create a blog for you at posterous.com, but I rarely use my Posterous address. I think it's leoville.posterous.com. We even created one for CES. I created a company blog for CES in January. We'll probably do it again this January, where everybody at the company could just email to Posterous, and it would say, oh, that's coming from Lisa, so put that and the CES blog on our Posterous site. But then you don't necessarily refer people to your Posterous blog, because what it will do is it then forwards your content on to your other sites, including, if you want, your own personal blog, which is what I do, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere. It has this amazing kind of pipelining. So I call it my pipeline to my internet presence.
So you use it a lot. Like if you were to take a picture or something, you'll use it to kind of share it across those multiple platforms.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, you can say if it's a video, put it on YouTube and my blog. If it's a we'll talk about it more because we've got Gary and Sachin on to talk about it. They're the founders, so they could probably tell me a thing or two. And if you've used Pulse, have you ever used Pulse on your iPad or iPhone?
I haven't yet, actually.
Okay, Pulse is this great news reader, kind of like Flipboard on the iPhone and iPad.
Okay, I've used Flipboard.
And you can favorite something on Pulse, and Pulse did a deal with Posterous that it creates a Pulse blog of the stuff you favorite. So people could follow you on your posterous, I call mine Leo Laporte's pulse, and you can then follow that, and it becomes its own blog from your so you don't even have to do anything. You just favorite stuff on pulse.
Leo, I still think right now, just from listening to you talk, that I need a diagram of your digital life.
God.
I need a flow chart. No, seriously, Leo, that would be a huge hit. If you create a flow chart of all of the different pipelines and where the content's going and have it as a giant image.
These are images from the posterous at CES. And it just, you know, everybody was posting pictures, which was really fun. There was a way to collate pictures from all of our staff down at CES. We'll do the same thing. There's this dorky picture of 3D glasses. Dane sent that one. So we'll do the same thing, I think. There's a Scoble and Paul Thurrott and Ryan Shrout. That's cool. So we'll do the same thing this year. In fact, I'd like to do it for more conferences. Anyway, we'll talk about posterous in a bit. You know, we were at Blog World. You didn't go to Blog World Podcast Expo this year.
I didn't. You know, I thought about going down because I was in California for the past 5 days, but I brought my mom to California with me, and we were having such a good time on our trip that, you know, it was just a little tight to get away to Vegas. But, Leo, I was following along, especially through Instagram, everything that you guys were doing, and I want an update. How was it?
Yeah, we Instagrammed quite a bit, didn't we, Eileen?
I love it.
You saw the picture of Eileen partying. You saw the picture of the pyramid.
Sarah Lane's photos. I felt like I was there. It was great.
We're gonna trying to get Instagram for next week, I think, right?
We got them.
Kevin's going to join us next week?
Yeah, he's going to join us next Tuesday.
So we'll talk more about that next week. But yeah, so Blog World is, you know, the thing about Podcast Expo is shrinking. Because, and I said this from day one, and I keynoted every Podcast Expo that there was, except for this one this year. I said from day one, we're ghettoizing ourselves by calling ourselves podcasters. That's too narrow. We produce internet content. And that's why I think it made sense for podcast. And I saw Tim Birkin and Emil Birkin, the guys who started Podcast Expo. They were at Blog World just for fun, which was must have been nice for them, not having to tear their hair out during a conference. And really, it made sense to merge it with Blog World and really make it a trade show for people who create internet content. And that's really what it is now. And I think that's much more appropriate.
So what did you do when you were down there? Because you weren't speaking, right?
Yeah, so we just went for a day. It's funny. You go down to these events, same thing at South by Southwest, and it's all people from San Francisco. So I, you know, I hung out with all the people I already know. But there are a lot of providers were there. We, you know, our friend from Cashfly, Matt Levine, who's up your way from Toronto. I don't see him much. So he was there, and he threw a nice dinner and party. We went to that.
Oh, yeah, I've been to that dinner before. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. That was at the China Grill, I think. And then we went upstairs to Mix, the nightclub up there, which is a very strange nightclub, but has the best view I've ever seen. You can actually go out on their deck, an open-air view of the strip.
I've been there, too.
Oh, it's so pretty. There's a video on our blog of me dancing. Nothing to be proud of.
I have a video of you dancing, too.
Yes, you do, which you've thankfully held on to and never revealed. But I know that if I ever should wrong you in any way, it will be revealed. And
you shall never wrong me, Leo Laporte.
No, it's true. There's too much at risk here. It was not quite that bad, but the dance floor was empty. And Sarah and Lane and I said, well, let's get this party started. So we went out and danced, and nobody joined us. So eventually we slunk off. But unfortunately, Eileen had a camera.
Oh, no.
And she videoed it, and it's on our blog, inside.twit.tv.
Oh, fun.
And on our YouTube.
It's okay, Lee.
So I didn't go to any presentations, but as usual, one of the things I noticed, and this was the same last year, is that most of the most popular tracks were about making money, monetization. And I think we've gotten to a stage now in blogging and podcasting and everything else where people say, well, this was fun, but how can I make a living doing it?
Yeah, definitely. You know what's unfortunate, though, Leo? I'm fresh off doing a keynote this afternoon to a group. I feel like there needs to be more focus on creating good content because people don't understand that that's the most important thing online. And most companies and most individuals, I think, just miss the mark there.
Some people said this, and there was one presentation that said this, and I think it's really key. And it's the word I used on the very first Podcast Expo. My talk was called Podcast Your Passion. And it has to start with your love for the content, whether it's Twit Network, whether it was Tech TV, whether it was what you and I did at Call for Help. If you're there because you want to be famous or make money, people know, they smell it, and it stinks. And what you really got to do is do what you care about, do what you're passionate about, And the money will follow if there's money to be made. And I can't promise there's money to be made in blogging or podcasting, but if there is any to be made, it's going to follow the people who care the most about the content.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think they can sort of get into this space and they can just, you know, rely simply on some of the social media sites and networking to sort of make a living. But that's not a living.
No, find your
socializing.
Niche. Socializing. Yes, that's socializing. Yeah. Well, there's so many social media consultants I want to just puke. But find your niche. I talked to a woman named Marla. It was great. She has, she's doing her passion. Oh, it was like life after kids. Oh, I've got to find the name of it now. I will find the name of it. But she does a network, a show about life after the empty nesters. And I think that's great. I mean, you know, you don't decide to do that show because you think there's a lot of money in it. You do it because you are one and you care and you have something to say. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and then you can build community and sort of see what comes out of that.
Right.
I totally agree.
Right. Well, I'm sure that's what you tell your people when you give talks.
I try, Liam.
So it was fun. I was glad we went to Blog World. It's a small conference, but it was an enjoyable conference, and I thank Rick Calvert and the gang for putting it together. And, you know, it's our trade show, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, Leo, we have lots of news to cover today before we get our guests on the show. But first up, had to mention this since this is Net at Night. There was a report that just came out that internet users have reached will reach 2 billion people this year. Pretty phenomenal as far as the growth.
2 billion. 2 billion. Wow.
2 billion.
Because it was 1 billion last year, so it's doubled.
Yeah, so it's approaching a third of the world's population.
Here, by the way, is Marla's site, as long as we're still in memory. It's Marla Schumann. It's called LifeAfterKids.tv. LifeAfterKids.tv. It's a great idea. And she did a little interview with me, which you'll find. But that was a lot of fun. Anyway, 2 billion people. That's exciting.
Yeah, so a third of the world's population, or at least it's close to that. Of course, within this report from the United Nations agency, they said that some developing countries obviously need to step up because the growth is mainly seen in countries that are already developed. So not a big surprise there.
But I would have thought the growth was like in portable devices and phones in less developed countries.
Yeah, I would assume with mobile communications especially, but from what I'm reading about this, it doesn't look like that necessarily as far as when it comes to, we're talking about actual internet users. So I guess it's still a little bit slow as far as growth in developing countries. It kind of floored me though, Leo, to think that, you know, a third of the world's population, I probably would never have guessed it was that high. What about you?
No, and I think that you can only say it's that high because you're including people who have don't have full computers. They're getting online with 3G cell phones, things like that. I think that's got to be where a lot of that is. A lot of that growth. Mm-hmm. In India, in China, in Asia in general. I think that's where probably a lot of that growth.
Yeah.
Is.
Well, I this isn't in our lineup, but I just read an article the other day. I can't remember where it was, but it was about an app contest that was held in Africa for app developers creating interesting apps to help the economy there. And you realize what a huge world that is. Some of the apps that they had created were really interesting. One was an app that would tell farmers when their cows are most fertile. very cool. So I should look that up and maybe try to have someone on the show. It was a really massive contest there.
You know, we're in such a first, you know, you and I are really in the first world, and you know, we've got all these, we spend ghastly amounts of money on all these shinies, like iPads and iPhones and Android phones and everything. So, we're online in 15 ways from Sunday, and I think it's very interesting. I don't know if we're projecting what we do onto other people or if there really is this interest in getting online. I find it fascinating, though.
I do too. I mean, especially in developing countries, when you're talking about mobile access to the internet, because for so many people, I mean, it's way more than just networking and socializing. Really, it can help people as far as making a living. I mean, you look at farmers in Africa and how mobile apps can help them,
you bet.
Grow their businesses.
Information is power. Yeah.
It really is. And maybe we'll get a chance to talk a little bit more about that in a future show, because I'm passionate and so interested in what's happening in some of these different parts of the world. As I know you are too.
I'd love to. You got 2 million internet users. How and Foursquare now has how many of those?
4 million.
4 million.
Yeah. So Foursquare has are set to reach 4 million members.
I find that fascinating too, because we all thought Facebook Places would just kill Foursquare.
I know, and it's just really growing so fast. They have approximately 20,000 new users every single day who are signing up for this service, which is amazing. I mean, the thing about Facebook Places, though, Leo, I mean, at least from what I've seen, I mean, it's limited, obviously, to iPhone users, for one. Also, you aren't able to take advantage of the social gaming component that Foursquare offers, right, which I think a lot of people love, and, you know, you included.
Yeah, I love the badge. I got the Crunked badge in Vegas.
What is that? I can't remember what the crunk badge does again.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. That's what it means. You've been to too many nightclubs in one night. I think it's something like 4 stops in one night or 5 stops in one night.
You need a chaperone.
Some of these badges are very embarrassing. Some of these badges you do not want to get on Foursquare.
That's one of them, obviously.
Crunked may be one of them. Yeah, I'm not pleased. But they were all within the same hotel, so I didn't have to drive anywhere.
And that's actually easy to do in Vegas, too, right?
Yeah, very easy to get crunked in Vegas.
It's very simple to do. But yeah, the stats kind of surprised me. I didn't think it was growing all that quickly, but...
I'll tell you why. I figured it out. I figured it all out.
What is it?
Well, you look at places and you go, well, that's nice. But look, mm-hmm. I could get the same functionality with Foursquare Plus. Because you tie Foursquare to your Facebook, which I do, and you get all the check-ins. You look at things like Instagram, which we love. What does it tie to? Foursquare. Not Gowalla. Yeah. It does allow you to do Facebook, but not a location check-in on Facebook. So I think what's happening is they're getting critical mass. There was a lot of competition. There was Doppler. There was Fire Eagle from Yahoo. There was Brightkite was the first. Gowalla, I've used all of these, but in the long run, Foursquare seems to be the winner. And so what happens, and it certainly happened with me, is I just stop using those other ones. I say, we have a winner. And so it snowballs.
And you know what I noticed, too? I mean, I've been to some physical locations in Toronto, for example, restaurants, and I'll see a Foursquare sticker on their door, and I'm starting to see more and more of that. I think Foursquare also works very well with businesses as far as establishing deals and discounts and those types of things. So that's obviously helped growth a lot, too, I would think.
4+ stops in one night, and I am now crunked.
Leo, who knew?
Who knew I was such a party animal?
You are a party animal.
But if you look at the badges, we've talked about this before. If you look at the badges, some of them are ones you just really don't want to, you know, they would be kind of embarrassing to get. I'm going to see if I can find some of these because some of them are just like,
Well, obviously, crunked. I mean, crunked isn't really embarrassing, I suppose.
It just means you were partying. I had one that's I think it was called School Night, where you're checking in somewhere after 3 in the morning on a weeknight.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is fun though. That's the game element of it, and it's kind of. And by the way, I have it set. I probably shouldn't. That it tweets out when I get a badge. That's the only thing it tweets out. Not a mayorship. I was tweeting mayorships, but now it just tweets out when I get a badge.
But you're mayor of quite a, or you were mayor of a few destinations.
Well, it's because I was in Petaluma, exactly. And in Petaluma, there wasn't much Foursquare activity for a long time. So I was able to become mayor, but that will rapidly go away.
Leo, you will laugh. When I was speaking to this group of self-storage professionals in San Diego, I was looking for an example of people using Foursquare, and you wouldn't believe how many people actually check into self-storage facilities. I found one woman who checked in every time she went to her self-storage container.
Now, well, and you know, there has been some question. Do you get to check into your own house? I finally started doing that after somebody else started checking into my house and became the mayor of my home. Huh. After that, I said, well, I'm going to check in every time. Every time. Yeah, so this is fun. Swarm. See, I'm just showing some of my badges here. School night. Checking in after 3 a.m. on a school night. Well done. And then Crunked is bigger than Bender. Bender's 4 nights in a row. Crunked is 4 places in one night. So I've got both Bender and Crunked. You'd think I was a party animal. This is aimed at teenagers, I think.
It's like you're a different person than I knew. You go to Vegas and
this
you
is
get
the most. This is the most embarrassing one. Overshare. 10 check-ins in 12 hours. That was not good when I got that
one. You must have been a great Boy Scout.
Yeah, I like badges. I want to, you know, that. Oh, I just thought of my Halloween costume. I'll get a sash and all my badges.
Leo,
I could be a Foursquare Scout.
Leo, and then you need to enter, because I just saw this on Mashable today. They have, I believe, a Halloween contest for the best social media costume.
Oh, there you go. Well, somebody's going to steal it now, though.
No, but they won't have as many badges as you.
Oh, believe me, there are people with far more badges than me, my dear.
Crunked?
Oh, there's lots of crunked. I'm sure Kevin Rose has crunked.
Too funny.
Well, we got our guests here, so I want to keep going quickly. Let's do brain training, and then I have the Squarespace commercial, then we'll talk about posturus. How about that?
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Okay, so I just read this item, and I thought we should have something a little different on the show, how brain training can make you smarter. Now, this is a new San Francisco web company that has a brain training program. I have not taken this program. It's called Lumosity.
Oh, I've used Lumosity. I have used it. I was a member for, I've been a member of Lumosity for a couple of years now. That's how I'm so smart.
Are you serious? Do you do the mental exercise skills?
Yeah.
Where do you find time to do all these things?
So the idea, the theory on this is the best way to keep your brain limber is to do different kinds of things. You know, some spatial things, some memory things, some timing and speed things. And so there's actually a Lumosity app for the iPhone. There's a number of brain apps. And so I'm an old man, Amber. I'm not young like you. And I can already feel my mind is going. So I wanted to make sure that I did what I could. And they say that exercising your brain is just like exercising a muscle. And in my case, it is a muscle. So the more you do, the better your thought processes will be.
Yeah, it looks kind of interesting. You know, you can also give Lumosity as a gift to someone if you think they need brain training. I don't know if that's...
I'm not going there.
That's an insult. No, but I agree with you. I mean, I think of my grandmother who passed away a few years ago, but she used to always do Scrabble and all these word puzzles.
Crossword
and
puzzles. Yep.
It definitely helped her stay sharp.
Learning a language, learning an instrument. But the theory is behind Lumosity and other sites like this, and there are a lot of brain training sites like this, is that you don't want to just do crosswords or just do Scrabble. That's only one part of your brain. So you do these trainings, and they're in different things, you know? And that's really a lot of fun. There's different kinds. And they're games. They're all games. So I really enjoyed it. There's speed, flexibility, memory, problem solving. I really enjoyed these.
Yeah, it looks. I thought it was really interesting. I mean, also because based on what they're saying, that you only need to play for about 10 minutes a day or participate on the site, which is not a whole lot of time. But if you think you have someone in your family and who's getting older who loves games and these types of things, it'd be a great site to send along to them to check out.
Yeah, and now again, it's because they have an iPhone app. Pretty sure they have an iPhone app. You don't have to even do it on the website. You could just do it on your phone or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Leo, I gave my mom my iPhone to play with while I was away with her. And, oh, my goodness, she absolutely loved it. She is hooked on it. Now she wants an iPhone. So
you know what? Don't give her an iPhone. Trust me on this. Give her an iPad.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Oh,
she likes
I know.
Scrabble and a lot of those different games.
I know. My mom uses her iPad, like, forever, every day, all the time.
Yeah, I think you're right. She would probably enjoy that. But she loved it. And she knew how to use it right away. I mean, I know she's pretty tech savvy anyway. But nonetheless, I couldn't believe, you know, how quickly she adopted it compared to trying to use my BlackBerry or something, which didn't intrigue her all that much.
Yeah. Should I play one of my Lumosity games right now just to
show you? Yeah, of course. See, I was hoping you hadn't seen this site, Leo.
See it? I've been a member for at least a couple of years.
See, where if I had a chart where I could see all of your internet usage and connection, I wouldn't.
Now, I had a premium account, and I did not continue to pay for that because you can pay for it. So she's asking me for a burrito and a cola, and then click and drag the orders to the customer. There's her burrito. There's her cola. Okay. And you think, well, what's so hard about this? Well, then you have to remember her name and – oh, dear. What's her name? See, I forgot. And so then you have to remember her order. And it's fun. It's actually fun.
Yeah, I'd like to try that iPhone app. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, Lumosity. And there's others, too. I actually had a couple of years ago, I started worrying. And then I forgot what I was worried about, and I feel much better.
And then you started crunking.
I got crunked. And now I don't worry at all.
No need for the mental exercises anymore.
Okay, Sarah, now it's time for a commercial. Wait a minute. Who are you? Okay. Just kidding. It says so right here. You know, when I used to do Regis and Kelly, Regis is, you know, he's getting on. He's in his 70s.
Yes.
They put the name of whoever, like my name, right under the camera. So he's looking at the camera and he could see the person's name. So he never forgets the name because it's written down on the camera.
That's smart because I've seen him live and he is not too quick.
I love him. But yeah, well, we're all getting there. So don't you never knock it, you know. Let us quickly mention our friends at Squarespace and then we're going to talk about Postres. They're kind of competitors, but kind of not. Postres is designed to pump your content to anywhere, including, by the way, a Squarespace blog. So the Squarespace blog is both hosting and software that make it just so easy to set up a website. They've got the iPhone app. They've got the imports from all the existing platforms. You can try it free for 2 weeks, no credit card needed. Now, here's where there really is a big difference between Postres and Squarespace. Postres is very simple in its design, and it's designed to be. It's really not even necessarily designed for you to use it as a blog, but Squarespace, you want it to look gorgeous. That's why you could start with these 60-plus professionally designed styles, brand-name designers. But then every style in Squarespace allows point-and-click over every single element of the design, so no two Squarespace sites look the same. You have infinite control, and if you just look at the examples, you'll see what I mean. I mean, these sites are gorgeous. Many businesses use Squarespace because you can never bring Squarespace down. Their bandwidth, their VPS technology makes sure that you never run out of bandwidth. They also have just fantastic of templates for things like photographers, for portfolios, for forms, the stats. I'm a big Squarespace fan. I think you know that by now. Kevin Rose uses it. Sarah uses it. I use it. We use it for our Inside Twit blog. In fact, if you go to see me dancing at inside.twit.tv, that's on Squarespace.
I just recommended it about half an hour ago to a bunch of healthcare professionals.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so simple. And I just say to them, you know, there is no easier place to create a website.
Here's our Squarespace blog, inside.twit.tv. And, there's the recap. Here's Tech News Today. See, Eileen's been posting such great stuff, and here's the dance floor incident, which we don't really want to talk too much about.
For our listeners, just need to go to the website to see this. It's good.
And then you'll be seeing a Squarespace blog. Look at, I think Sarah and I make a lovely couple.
Yeah, you got some good dancing skills,
oh,
Leo.
Oh, that's horrible. I'm so, so embarrassed. We were the only people on the dance floor. InsideTwit.squarespace.com. If you want to start your own Squarespace site, you can put anything on there. You don't have to put the embarrassing videos, but it's fun. You just go there and try it for 2 weeks free, squarespace.com/night. And if you sign up, this is the great thing about Squarespace, and you use our coupon code NIGHT, N-I-G-H-T, you get 10% off for the life of your site. So sites start at $12 a year with unlimited bandwidth. Actually, it's a terabyte for $12 a year, and you can get unlimited bandwidth and a little bit on the higher. But a terabyte a month is a lot of bandwidth. Go to $20 a month. You've got unlimited bandwidth, unlimited pages, unlimited storage. You just never run out. And that includes all the great Squarespace software, too. I love Squarespace. Give it a try. Squarespace.com/night to try it. When you buy it, use the offer code NIGHT. And you get 10% off for the life of your site. The life of your site.
Pretty sweet deal, Leo.
Site of the night, then we'll get our guests on.
Okay, so this is a site of the night I just stumbled across on TechCrunch. It is called Tagzito. Have you seen this, Leo?
Tagzito.
Have you seen it?
No. You got me on this one. You finally... T-A-G...
Yes.
E... Oh, like tuxedo with it, but tag. Yes.
Tagzito, exactly.
Tagzito. I thought it might be some sort of Italian thing.
No.
TAGXEDO.com.
So is it working for you?
No.
TAGXEDO.
You have to do dub dub dub. You have to do dub dub dub. Dub 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 dot tagzito.com.
Yeah.
And then you get this. What is this?
Okay, so this is a site where you can turn any, you know, poem or speech or website or Twitter feed into a tag-based word cloud, which is not an uncommon thing. You've seen sites that have done this before, but it turns it into a tag cloud that is a beautiful design. And there are many examples on the site itself in terms of how you can do that. So it's a different way to visualize text.
So I'm going to do one, and I'm going to make it into a heart. And I'm going to have the orientation be any and the font. You get to choose your font. I like Avril Lavigne. I don't even know what that's going to look like. And then I will use my pet elephant as the theme. Submit. Now, it's going to pull stuff from my, like, six places. A search for my name, my blog, my news. Oh, it's using Silverlight. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's using Silverlight, and it should pull all of, you know, some of the keywords, some of the most commonly used words from those different
destinations. And there they are. And it made a little heart. But now I'm not stuck because I can, there's a random thing. I can respin the color. I can respin the theme. I can choose my own theme. I could choose, you know, if I don't like Avril Lavigne, I could choose my own font. This is pretty cool.
It's very cool. And so you could also choose to have an image of Mona Lisa, for example, and all of the different tags and different designs, different colors. It's kind of beautiful. I mean, if you're communicating as much as probably we are, maybe we're oversharing online, it's a fun way to kind of repurpose all of that content and do something that is very creative and artistic in some ways.
Yeah. Didn't you do something like this for me in a t-shirt once?
Yeah, I did. I can't believe I remember that. That was years ago. And I can't remember the name of the site, but I think I got all of the keywords off of your website put onto a t-shirt. And I still have my t-shirt from ambermack.com. And so it would show you some of the things that you talk about on a regular basis.
That's so similar to this.
Yeah, it's similar. And the reason I found it is because TechCrunch had done a tagzito of the Steve Jobs rant, which was kind of fun. So that's in the link below your notes that I sent you.
Oh, boy. TechCrunch had it again.
To see some of the most commonly used words within his rant.
This wasn't a rant, but he got in on the earnings call yesterday. And
exactly.
It did rant a little bit about Google and so forth.
Yeah.
They're not open. We're open. I'll give you your open right here.
I know. So TechCrunch had a little bit of fun with that.
Yeah. Jason Snell transcribed it, and TechCrunch, Robin Waters over at TechCrunch, added it to Tagzito. And made it, by the way, to the shape of Steve's head. I like this. Fragmented Apple. Android. Integrated approach.
Did you see how an Android is really huge, obviously.
Yeah, Google. You can tell what's on Steve's mind. All right, let's get our guys on here because I'm really thrilled to be talking to him. I'm a big Posterous fan, as you know. First of all, before we go too much farther, Gary Tan and Sachin Agarwal, Posterous or Posterous?
You can go either way, but we've generally said Posterous, as in preposterously easy.
See, I focused on the posting thing. Good to talk to you. I love Posterous. How long has it been around?
It's been about 2 years. We launched in June of 2008, actually on TechCrunch. You guys were just talking about that.
Yeah, TechCrunch is is empowerment.
So how did you guys come up with the idea?
Well, you know, it basically just started out as a personal frustration with publishing online. Gary and I are both big bloggers. We've always had personal websites. We're always photographers. And we never really enjoyed the tools that we were using. I was on Blogger. Gary was on Zynga. When we were sharing photos, we ended up using Flickr for those. When we wanted to share video, we were on YouTube for that. And everything just got really fragmented. And so we wanted to just create the dead simple place to publish everything in one website.
And it's not really an endpoint necessarily. I mean, you do get a Posterous blog. It's free, by the way. This is all free. You do get a Posterous blog, but it's not necessarily the stopping point for your content. It's actually just, at least in my case, the beginning for where my content's going to go.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the way we think about it, we've got friends on Flickr, we've got friends on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. But I, you know, don't want to have to go and upload things five times. I don't want to know what an embed code is.
Right.
It's just have it go everywhere, and not just to other social networks, but also by email. So people who don't even use any of these other services can still see the stuff I post.
I love that.
Think about things.
I love that. You've got quite a few services here. You've got Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Picasa, YouTube, Vimeo, Tumblr, Blogger, WordPress, Zynga. So, for instance, my Leo Leposterous goes to my WordPress blog, LOL. It goes to my Flickr. Well, I get to control this. So yeah. if it's a picture, it goes to my blog and Flickr. If it's a video, it goes to YouTube and my blog. Sometimes I tweet and sometimes not. And I can control that even post by post, right?
Right. Yeah. But you know, the idea here is actually that, you know, you have communities in all these different places. You have a certain group of friends on Twitter and a certain group of friends on Facebook, and you want to reach out to them. But ultimately, you want to drive them back to your personal destination. That's your hub. And that's what your posture site is. It's your customized, on your custom domain hub in the middle of all the spokes going out to the other social networks.
Right.
And so we are actually a destination, your home on the web where all of your content lives in one place.
That's a good point. Yeah, because pictures might only go to Flickr, but everything is on my Posterous. I have three different Posterous blogs. I have my original Leo LePosterous, which was the first Posterous blog I set up. And then when we went to CES, I added another blog. I could show the console here if I go here. I added another blog, which was, this was a group blog, which I love the idea of this. It doesn't just have to be me. So it was me, Kiki, Dane, Colleen, Tony, and Eric all had the keys. And anytime they emailed to, and by the way, it's not a special email address. It's just post at posterous.com. And somehow it knows, oh, yeah, that should go to the CES blog. So it goes to the CES blog. So this was a way for us to group post. And then you did this great deal with Pulse, which I was telling Amber about. I really like, you can, if you use Pulse on the iPad or the iPhone or Android phones and you favorite something, it'll go to a specially created Pulse meme blog that automatically is built. So you guys, yeah, that was a good deal.
It's like one idea of removing all the friction from posting.
Friction-free posting.
And that includes the idea of a single email address, post at posterous.com. You don't even need to create an account in advance to use it. So right now, you know, people watching this can just grab their iPhone or any device, any desktop program, email post at posterous, and we'll set you up with a website. And there's no limits to what you can attach. Photos, videos, documents. We'll convert everything to the most web-friendly format.
So how do you know? I mean, how do you know it's me? I don't understand.
Well, we've been working on this for quite a while. We were actually the first service on the internet to really be able to do this in a secure way on the kind of scale that we do now.
Yeah, because it can't just be the reply to, or I could be spoofed.
Exactly. So we look at pretty much everything about that message, you know, the path, what kind of mail client you use, you know, and it's basically, that's kind of our secret security sauce. And I think like later on, FriendFeed picked it up. Facebook doesn't now, but we're the first.
So who's using the service right now? You know, as far as, is it, do you think mostly early adopters or is it families? What is your audience like?
I think what really gets us excited is to see the wide variety of different people who can use Posterous because we made it so dead simple. So there's definitely, you know, the early adopter crowd, Silicon Valley, all that. We have a bunch of celebrities on Posterous who want to own the experience of where their photos are hosted. We have families and people using it in that group scenario that, Leo, you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a family website, and my mom can just email post@posterous.com to post photos to a shared site. And whenever somebody posts, everybody else in that family gets that notification in their email box instantly. So the content is actually pushed to them. Businesses use this to run their business sites. It's just all over the place.
You don't have a lot of fancy templates, though. If I compare it to, say, Squarespace or WordPress, the templates are fairly simple. Is that intentional? What's the story there?
Well, I think we've got about, 25, 30 now.
Oh, they're growing quite fast then. Okay.
Yeah, we're growing. We got people who are creating, you know, entire theme galleries. You know, people are really excited. Designers really love the platform, and they're just building more and more.
How do you guys make money right now? I mean, it seems like
Good question.
Lots of users, lots of fans of the service.
Right now, we're a fully free hosted product. We want to always remain free for consumers. And we're really going to be coming out with a pro version in the next few months geared towards our high-end bloggers and corporate users.
That. So it's a freemium model.
Absolutely.
That's what they call it nowadays. That's what the kids are calling it. Rainn Wilson, who I love, Dwight on The Office, has a Posterous blog. It's Rainn, R-A-I-N-N dot posterous.com. That's fun. So now he probably uses it to cross-post to Twitter, right? Because he does a lot of Twitter stuff.
Yeah, he's got, two million followers? Something like that.
Yeah. So this is a really great way for him to email, in effect, email Twitter. Plus, you host the photo, so it's automatically hosted there.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about, you know, where it's going to go, where, you know, video especially is kind of a pain for most normal people who aren't techies, because, you know, what is an embed code anyway? We don't think people should ever know what that is anymore.
Well, I saw this great video on Laughing Squid of William Shatner selling VIC-20 computers in 1970-something, and... And all I had to do was email the link, and you automatically said, oh, that's a YouTube link. You embedded the video. It plays on the Posterous page. I mean, you couldn't make this simpler. It's really fantastic. Pictures I just do from my phone. You automatically add a tweet link and a Facebook like link, so that's a great way to share, and you show the counts there. You've also got commenting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, ultimately, we just want to take all the friction away from posting. And, you know, one of the big areas that we've been focusing on is mobile. And so, you know, you mentioned posting by email. We focused on that first because everybody understands email, and it works on every mobile device.
Right.
In addition to that, we're actually integrated into most of the Twitter clients out there. So even if you're using today Twitter for iPhone, the official app, you can switch your images to go to Posterous instead of one of the other sites that, you know, puts ads around your content.
And you just recently released a iPhone app, which I love.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, it's brand new. You know, we just wanted to, again, reduce the number of steps it takes to post, you know, full image galleries, multiple videos, manage all of your sites all in one place.
Yeah, this makes it very simple. It's really nice. And I just do it right from the iPhone. I can even take a picture from within the app if I want. So this is really, really nicely done. Go ahead,
Amber. Yeah, it takes advantage of all the crazy autopost stuff, too.
And I should mention that you can, in the subject, or rather in the email address, you could say, for instance, Twitter at posterous.com, and it will just go to Twitter. Or I could do Twitter plus Flickr at posterous.com, and it goes to both. You have complete control over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, is there anything in the paid version that you're talking about coming out with as far as the freemium model you guys are going for that is going to be kind of different? Any new features or anything you can tell us about?
Oh, man, what are we... I don't know.
Can you say?
Yeah, exactly. That's the issue. What can we talk about? You know, we just have a lot of requests from users who, you know, once people really get into Posterous, they end up with not just one or two Posterous sites. They end up with 20 or 30 Posterous sites.
You know, that's right. They proliferate like bunnies. It's so easy to start one.
Absolutely. And that's our goal, is that, you know, it's not just about creating one destination for you. It's about the different groups you communicate with and all that. And so, you know, those are sort of users that we're really just listening to what their needs are and focusing on taking care of them.
So talk about easy. While we were talking about this, I posted from my iPhone a picture of K-Shep that I took with my iPhone. But even better, and you mentioned the video issue, I could have taken a video, wouldn't have to know anything about it, and it would just post. And now, not only is it on my Posterous, but this is going to be winging its way to my blog and my Flickr. I'm sorry, yep. Kay. K-Shep is not happy about this particular picture. But that could talk about friction-free. Amber, are you kind of intrigued now? I mean, you couldn't make it any easier.
Well, yeah, I'm super intrigued because I kind of hate updating my blog on a regular basis. It just seems like always such a pain, right? You know, going in and going into the content management system and creating, you know, going into the HTML and tweaking things. So the idea that I can email everything, I think, is super exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amber, I mean, we'd love to see you on Posterous. And, by making it easier to post, you'll be posting more frequently than you ever have before. We'll post it to your WordPress site. And I bet you'll ditch your WordPress after a while, but you'll just want to switch.
So is that your goal? Because, you know, I love it that it just kind of now it's on my, you know, it went to my WordPress. But your goal is really for people to get rid of their other sites and have it all be on Posterous ultimately.
We're giving you a little taste. And once you get hooked, the next time you have to install a security update or your site goes down,
that's true.
Us.
That's a very good point. Let me see if it's already on Twitter.com, too. We were talking about Instagram and how long it takes to get stuff from Instagram. Yep, right away. And you do Posterous has its own shortening, POST.ly. I hope Libya doesn't mind. But there it is. So I mean, literally, with no effort at all, Amber, I just posted to Flickr, Twitter, Leoville.com, Leoville.Posterous.com, all from here.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It does make you want to blog more.
Yes, it does. You guys got me hooked already. Thanks a lot.
Well, you remember when I got upset not so long ago with Buzz and about how social media really just seemed to be everybody talk, talk, talk. And I said, I want to host this stuff myself because I don't trust other people to store my stuff. This is where Posterous really became handy because I could just send it to Posterous and it ends up on my blog. Now, I do rely on you guys storing the video and the photo. Do you have a way of getting it out of there so that, you know, I have some... some, you know, that's that data liberation front that, that Google's always talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really, really, really focusing on making sure the user can, you know, it's your data and you will always be able to access it. Right now we have full APIs that you can grab stuff out of, you can download it directly off of your page. There's going to be more coming from our team on that too, because it's definitely a priority.
Yeah, yeah. Your competition in this, Tumblr, certainly. Everybody is focused on the Postgres versus Tumblr. I guess Squarespace, WordPress, TypePad, all are competition.
Yeah, there's a, you know, there's a lot of people out there trying to do what we're doing, and I think that you know, we've gone to the simplest model ever, which is email, and just trying to reduce all the friction entirely from accounts, you know, all the sort of things that get in your way to post. And so ultimately, you know, the goal is that we can do, you know, pretty much everything that a site like WordPress can do, but with like zero effort, zero knowledge.
Right. I have to take a look at the templates, because that's the one thing where I felt like, well, these are very simple. I don't mind how plain and simple they are, but if you wanted, I have a fairly elaborate template that has a magazine layout and stuff like that. Can you do CSS and JavaScript? Can you customize the templates fully?
You can do full CSS right now, and JavaScript support is one of those things that will be coming with the premium version.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I use JS Kit from Echo, or Echo from JS Kit, and I'd like to keep using that platform.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's just one line of JavaScript if you guys allow it. Now that Six Apart is was sold to Video Egg, it looks like maybe there's a little consolidation of blogging platforms. Is that good for you guys or bad for you guys? Or does it matter?
I haven't really thought about that.
yeah, I don't know.
Say Media is really, it looks like they want to buy all the platforms, just own it all.
I think overall, you know, competition's been good, and it's, you know, really making all of us innovate.
Right.
And I think at the end of the day, you know, you're talking about getting your data out. You know, we believe in data portability, and you should be able to move your data between sites and pick the best site with the best features. Yeah. And that's what we're just working really hard to be.
Yeah,
we actually have, we spent a lot of time actually making it easy to import. So we have a full importer tool for pretty much every other service, you know, photos, video, anything, we'll be able to import it.
That's interesting too, yeah.
I'm curious what you guys call yourselves, like as far as your company. You know, what's the sort of elevator pitch in terms of what you do?
It's the easiest way to post everything.
There you go. That was good.
That's good.
Friction-free, friction-free. You don't even want to say blogging, really. You want to say friction-free posting, don't you?
Yeah.
It's, like, it's, you know, sharing the stuff that matters to you with the people that matter to you. Because we, you know, we want to be frictionless on both ends. One on the posting end, obviously, with all the tools we talked about, but even on the distribution end. And, you know, that is Twitter and Facebook. But I think, you know, more importantly, it's email. And we do those subscription emails. And so when I post a photo, the fact that my mom gets in her email box, that's super important to me because she's my most important reader.
You have a Ning importer for people who are on Ning and didn't want to pay for Ning. What other platforms can you import from automatically?
Any
Vox?
Of the Twitter Media, you know, YFrog. I think Vox is closed now, but we did have an importer for them. You know, WordPress, TypePad, anything. Squarespace even.
quiet. Zip. No, that's fine. Go ahead, Amber.
No. I was just saying zip, zip.
Zip, zip.
Okay. No, it sounds really cool. I have to try it out because I think it would encourage me to blog more, which I would love to do, and just be, you know, posting more often, more easily to multiple places. And I think everybody wants that, right?
Yeah, that's what, to me, that's what Postgres was for me, is making it easy for me to post. And I really like that. Hey, guys, thank you so much. All the best to you. Good luck. Keep up the good work. Postgres is fantastic. I don't know when I started using it. I think it was very early on, and I've been using it as it says on my Postgres blog, my publishing pipeline to the rest of the world. So thank you very much, Gary Tan and Sachin Agarwal. We really appreciate
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your support.
Good luck. And let us know when you go to that premium model. I'd like to know more.
Yeah.
Leo, one last thing. You know, when you were at Mix Nightclub, we were right there the same night with you.
What?
But we didn't know it until we saw your tweet later.
Dang.
Would've been fun to see you.
Did you get crunked?
We're on our way as well.
By the way, Giants just scored 1-0. You can go back to watching the game now, guys. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
That's why Ken is grumpy, I might add. Take care. Well, that's fun. That's really cool. I am glad that you got him on, Amber, because I've been a big fan for a while. I don't know if you, I don't even know how you knew that.
No, well, Eileen is the one who suggested them and asked if we had them on before. And so I said, yeah, I would love to just talk to them further because I haven't really tried out the service, but I know lots of people who do use it. So another big thanks to her. And she also is the one who recommended our video of the week, Leo.
This one has been everywhere. You can't get away from this video. People love it. And I can understand why. You want to set it up?
Yeah, sure. So the band is called Atomic Tom, and they have become very popular on YouTube and beyond. As far as I understand, they had their instruments stolen and decided to use their iPhones as a replacement, and their music's fantastic, and they have a bit of a following now on the web.
So here they are on the subway in New York City without their instruments but with their iPhones, and they literally are performing one of their big hit songs. I guess it's going to be a hit if it's not a hit now. On their iPhones in the subway. Amber MacArthur is online at commandn.tv. You can find her at ambermac.com. That's her blog. And, of course, she's on Twitter, too, as Amber Mac. And you've got to watch her on CP24 with her Web Nation show. Anything else? Oh, yeah. There's a great book. It's called Power Friending. In bookstores everywhere.
It's in stores now.
In stores everywhere. And if you want Amber to speak, is there a good way for them to contact you to get you as a speaker?
Yeah, they can just check out my website at ambermac.com, and I have everything broken into different categories in terms of stuff I do. So it's all there, Leo.
Thank you, Amber. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'll see you soon.
On Net at Night.